Welcome to the Fine Sisterhood Podcast, Unspoken Truths, where we shine a light on the beautiful messiness of life. Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is Anna and Maria from the Fine Sisterhood team, and we're here today with Minty Oreo, cam girl at Studio 20 here in LA. Hi Minty, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, how did you get started? Let's start there. Or do you want to explain to our listeners a little bit about what is a cam girl and how did you get started with your journey?
Yes. So, I started around the age of 19, 20. Sadly, it was through a pretty bad breakup. That individual exposed some very explicit pictures of myself. And that's kind of where it started. It was a really embarrassing moment, but a very good friend of mine who is already delved into the camming community introduced me to it. They said, why don't you start selling things? You know, you're a very pretty lady. Turn this into something positive. So that's where it all came from. I didn't know what camming was until a friend of mine who works at the studio I work at now, Studio 20, introduced me to it. And that's where I started camming at Studio 20.
So what is camming exactly?
Camming is live modeling online, where you have an account on a specific site where members can take you private, and in privates you can do anything and everything that you and the member would like to do. Usually it dwells within sexual procedures or whatever you may want to call them, but a lot of it is also just communication. Camming is very different to what a lot of people may assume, and it has more to do with just communicating, having someone to talk to online.
Okay, so does that mean there's a lot of customers? How do you call them? Customers?
Yeah, customers, yeah. Clients.
Clients that come just because they want to talk to you and they actually establish a relationship with you, like where you know about them, is that?
Yes, so a lot of these sites, they do partake in sexual experiences, but a lot more than people would assume is just people who are very lonely or don't have anyone in their lives partner-wise. Mm-hmm. So they go to these sites and they take these models privates, and through some time they build relationships, and a lot of them just are looking to have a companion, to have a girlfriend experience, because they may be busy individuals or they've just never had the time to invest into someone in their real lives. So they go to these camming sites and expose themselves to these models and build relationships and, like I said, just communicate.
How long have you been camming?
Well, I did it for about a year or two. Now I am a trainer for cam models.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I ended up finishing my camming career. But, I train over there at Studio 20.
Okay. I have a question. So, when you have an account, right, do you book it by time or do you book it by experience? How does that work?
Book it? What do you,
like when you kind of get the account, how the client gets to you?
If they want to be private with you. Yeah.
Well, generally, you're just in what we refer to as open chat, where it's in your room and anyone can click on you on the site. And you're talking and you're just having a normal conversation with anyone who's in your room. That person has the option to click somewhere on the site afterward to take you private. And so that's when it's just you and the member alone.
Okay. Do the women work from home? Or is it like actually from their home? Or is there like an actual studio where they go into to do the recording?
So where I work at Studio 20, it is an actual studio where we have multiple rooms that the young ladies can, you know, partake in their daily sessions. There are some that do it from home. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to work in studios such as the one that I work at. But yeah, either or. There's many different ways to do it.
Wow. Okay. And how do you do to get started? Like, what do you do? Let's say someone wants to become a cam girl tomorrow. Like, what do you do? What do you need in order to do that?
As far as like prerequisites or requirements, mm-hmm. I don't believe I would say that there is any requirements that you would need. Of course, it would help to know what you are diving into, what ketamine is. So my suggestion to anyone who is looking into ketamine would be to just research what it is, to fully know what you are going to be going into, if it's what you really want to do, and if you are curious about the sites. There are a lot of sites that are legitimate, but there are just as well as many that are not. So research would be the biggest thing that I would advise anyone looking into this.
How did you communicate to your family and friends what you're doing for a living now?
Well, I didn't necessarily bring it up to anyone because it wasn't something that I was going to take further for a couple of years. It was just a side thing. The few people that I did communicate to this about were very intrigued and open and very, understanding.
Okay.
So it affected the relationships that I have with them in a very positive way. And they didn't see me anymore as the little, girl of the family. But it wasn't difficult to bring it up. I'm very fortunate to have a very wholesome background and family and friends who were accepting of my direction.
How do you take care of your own mental health? Because I assume that takes a toll on you.
Yes. It can be very taxing because it does take a lot of time. It occupies a lot of your personal affairs, your mentality. The way that I dealt with it was speaking to those individuals, those family and friends that knew of what I was doing, as well as some of the members or clients. A lot of them, like I said, aren't there for anything sexual. They just want to have a friend or someone to talk to about their days. So a lot of those people I became very close with online. Of course, I keep it very separate from my personal life. It's just a matter of communicating with someone.
So in your personal life, do you date?
Yes, I do.
How does that work? Like, is there, your partner jealous or, how do you deal with that?
Not at all. I'm very fortunate to have a very understanding and open partner whom I've been with for over almost 4 years in an open relationship. So they're actually the ones who were my biggest supporters. I'm sorry, bigger supporter when I thought, maybe this isn't what I want. A lot of these people, there were tough days. Some can be rude. Some people that you haven't established those relationships. Some may want more than just communication. Some will want to find you in real life. Or sometimes there's some people where you're like, oh my God, they're very attractive. I wonder what it would be like in real life if I had seen them. So my partner was and continues to be very strong for myself when I can't be in those situations. And he's very understanding. There's never an instance of jealousy. It's always of positivity. And if I ever wanted to do something, they were always the one saying, well, go and do it, enjoy yourself.
So what was the strangest request that you have ever received from a client?
Strangest request? That's a tough one because there are so many.
We are here for all of them.
We're ready.
There's a couple that delve into specific kinks, in subcategories of BDSM. Some of them were of me treating them like a pet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Puppies.
Which at first was weird. And it wasn't the typical cat or dog. It was a very odd thing.
Oh, my God. I'm dying to know what animal
now. I need to know.
We can talk about it later. It's fine, but I'm just saying, which one was it?
It was a possum. They were very much into a mistressy thing, and they often referred to themselves as trash. I don't like speaking to someone in a very demeaning form. So I tried spinning it into a thing of okay, well, what's something we can refer to you that would still make you feel that way? And possum ended up being the animal they chose.
So do you say hi, possum?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm fascinated by everything I'm hearing right now.
Another thing is, like, I saw the movie on Netflix, Come Girl, which kind of traumatized me.
Oh my God, me too.
Yes.
I didn't want to admit I watched it. Of course I did.
And I know it's a thriller and I know it's not true and I know.
Is that the one where she then goes to New Zealand or Australia to visit him?
No, this is the one that she, it's another of her, it gets crazy. But my question with this on the Come Girl conversation is, do you ever had a situation where, like, a person that was a client is now part of your life or trying to look for you, or kind of you saw him and it's like, oh, hi, it's me, Peter from,
from the chat room.
Yeah.
No. And the reason for that being is because of the place that I decided to go work with, Studio 20. Like I said, it's a physical studio where there's an actual team there who supports you every single time you're online, who makes sure that you're safe. There have been instances where members or clients do want to see you, or they will ask and continuously keep asking more about personal information. And they find creative ways to try to get that out of you. So thankfully, because, like I said, I do work at that studio, they're always monitoring, making sure, like, this is what they're trying to do, spin it so you don't answer with real information about myself. But yeah, no, I've never luckily had the encounter of someone was like, hey, I know you, like, I've been looking for you. So
are your clients mostly in the US or even in California, or where are the clients? All over the world?
All over the world. They typically tend to be either from US or from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's all over the world.
Do you see them, or do they just text, or do you hear their voice? How do they communicate?
So when they take you private, usually it's just them typing and they see me because I'm still, you know, being recorded, or I'm sorry, live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the option to, if they pay more, open up their webcam. So then I'll be able to see them as well. And then they have a third option to enable audio so that they no longer have to type and we could just communicate verbally as well as seeing each other.
How often does that happen compared to the one where you're just doing your thing live and they're typing?
Very often, because a lot of times when they take you private, they do want to see you seeing them.
Yeah.
'Cause like I said, aside from them wanting to come and have a sexual experience, a lot of them come to just have that person to talk to, so they want to see you seeing them as well.
Oh, that's amazing. One thing that we see in the app a lot is, like, women asking about, like, how easy it is to get into the business, but also how much money there is, because it's like, I need a side job. We might get into that if it's, like, not as easy, however, like, I know that it's a job and it requires a lot of things, but I'm saying, like, how good is the money in general? Do you have to do other things, or is this your only job, or was it? Because I know now you're a trainer, but how good is it?
Honestly, it depends on the individual.
Okay.
If you're very driven like myself, you look for anything and everything you can do as a cam model to make more income. So there isn't necessarily a set price I can give you. I've seen and heard stories of some models not really making anything because they're not really putting in effort. And I've seen some models who can make thousands off just messaging them. And that's not even taking into account of them being online. So what dwells with being a cam model, so for example, what I did, aside from being online for about 8 hours a day, there is an app that we can still communicate with our members after we log off. So messaging them, making content for them to buy on our profile or the site is more income. There is a feature that we have with the site that we partner with, which is Jasmine. On the app, there is a new feature where members can call us. So it's like FaceTime, essentially. That's another form of income that you can make. And aside from that, it's just really, like I said, how much you put into it. If you want more money, you'll spend more time online or you'll message them more.
So it's really like work into like how much more you're willing to do and kind of to tease on that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Nice.
What would your advice be for like someone that wants to get started. So you said find a studio, right? Then you also mentioned that you are a teacher?
Trainer, yes.
Trainer? So how do you get a trainer? Do studios provide trainers? Do you find your own trainer that shows you how to do it? Or how does that work?
So the job that I work for, Studio 20, it's a physical studio, and it's... I first came in as a CAM model. But because they have the support team, and then I was offered the position as trainer, then they trained me to become a trainer. When someone is doing it alone at home and just on a random site, they don't have that opportunity or that someone to help them like we do our girls.
Okay.
So, like I said, researching to see if there are mm-hmm. other places that do offer this, who do have training, because I wouldn't necessarily know to tell you if anyone else does. I only know that because I work here now.
How do you work while you're on your period?
As a CAM girl?
Mm-hmm.
So that was very difficult in the beginning because I didn't know what to do. But my trainers informed me that there are different things that you can offer as a CAM model when someone takes you private. If they do want to do something sexual, you can offer them something else. If they're saying, hey, I want to do this, like, let's play with some toys, I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, babe, like, I'm on my period. You want to do something else? A lot of people are very understanding because they know we're ladies and they know that that's a normal thing to go through. I just honestly communicate more. A lot of guys, they still want to do something or communicate with a very nice young lady, and a lot of them like just hearing a really like nice voice or dancing around, just anything you can spin to not make them ask that again.
Okay. You keep saying young ladies. How old are the girls or women in like average?
It can vary. Typically, they tend to be anyone from 18 to like 30. At least that's the range that usually starts going into camming, but I've seen many individuals who are well over 30, as well as couples, husbands and wives who have real families who do this full time. So it can vary. Anyone can do this.
Do you think, I mean, to me, as a mother, it sounds extremely problematic, girls at an age of 18 getting mm-hmm. into that kind of career path. Do you see that at all problematic, or, you know, I just be curious, because for me it feels like an 18-year-old girl doing this.
Very young, yeah.
That breaks my heart, and I'm like, I'm not judging at all. Like, you do you if you enjoy yourself. But at age 18, I feel like there is the big risk of, you know, that really hurts your mental health in a way, and you might not be strong enough to really be able to come out at the other end okay with yourself.
I agree. It's not for everyone. Anyone can do it, but it does take a very strong mindset and a level of maturity to be able to continue doing this if it is what you want to do. There have been instances where there are very young girls who look into this because they think it's very fast, easy money, which I'm not saying it's not, but like I said, it is taxing. And mm-hmm. Most young people don't necessarily, haven't yet matured to a level where they can fully understand or grasp what it is that this is. So I have seen, you know, some times where young people do this and they get either taken advantage of in a sense of they do a lot of free things and they don't end up getting paid for. And it's very sad, but there are places where there are studios or they do have that support team like we do in Studio 20 that really help and advise these people that come in looking to either see what camming is about or to actually start working there. And our job as trainers and the support team is to help them more than just when they're there camming. So, for example, I really take the time to get to know my models, especially new girls coming in, to get to know their personal lives, to a certain degree, of course, but just enough to make sure that I can help them and I know what I can do if there ever is an instance where mentally they just break, or they don't know what to do because they haven't matured to a point where a certain thing may have happened online. So it's a job that's very, what's the word? It takes a lot out of you. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's very interesting, especially because we always see those conversations, and we just wanted to give some, you know, background information, also resources to women out there to better understand,
mm-hmm.
And also educate. So thank you very much for being here with us today.
Of course. Thank you.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes. So I work at Studio 20 in LA, which you can Google. It will pop up right away. But did you also mean social media wise, or?
Yeah, sure, okay. Social media.
Sorry.
Yes, absolutely. No, not in person. We have established that one. We have established.
yeah. But yeah, as you mentioned, my name is Minty Oreo. I do have social media. I have Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, that's
awesome. We'll tag your accounts. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much.
So to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Fine Sisterhood podcast, Unspoken Truth. And for those of you who haven't already, you can download the Fine Sisterhood app for free in the App Store or Google Play Store all over the world. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.